Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is a little phrase of Scripture that you'll find there at the end of verse number 28 of John's Gospel, chapter number 11. We'll read those words with you again. It says, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." The Master is come and calleth for thee. In the Gospel of Luke, you have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking on one occasion. And he says, regarding himself, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." And those words really tell of the Lord's desire to save sinners. And we are reminded of this very same truth in the words of our text tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. Where it says, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." The chapter tells us here about the town of Bethany. And in that town of Bethany, there lived two sisters, Mary and Martha, along with their brother Lazarus. And in that home, the Lord was honored, the Lord was worshipped, the Lord was welcome. This was a home and a family that the Lord loved. It was a home and a family that the Lord often visited during his earthly sojourn. It was a place where the Lord was most welcome amongst these three family members. I wonder, as you think about that tonight, how is it with our homes? How is it with our families? Are our homes open to the Lord? Is the Lord a welcome guest, a welcome friend in our homes, in our households? Is there prayer offered to the Lord in our homes? Is there the reading of the Word of God and listening to the voice of the Lord in our homes and in our families? Oh, that all our homes would be like that home at Bethany, where the Lord was a welcome guest at all times. And my, the chapter also tells us how not only did the Lord love this family and visit this family, but whenever the Lord was away preaching, we're told about Lazarus, the brother of these two sisters, how he takes ill. He becomes sick and he dies. And what do the sisters do? They send for the Savior. Look at verse number 3 of the chapter. It says, "Therefore a sister sent unto him," that's the Lord, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." As their brother takes ill and is in great need, and it's a time of great trouble in this household and in this family, what do these sisters do? They send for the Lord. They seek the Lord. They inquire after the Lord for his help and for his enablement and blessing at this time of need and this time of trouble in their household. Again, there's a wonderful lesson there for us all, dear people, in times of trouble, times of difficulty, especially in our homes, especially in our families, and trouble comes the way of every household, every family, in one way or another. Who are we to send for help? Who are we to look to for help? We're to follow the example of these two sisters. We're to send for the Lord. We're to seek the Lord. What does it say in the Psalms? Psalm 50, verse 15, the Lord says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." In our times of need, we're to seek the Lord for his help and for his blessing. Yes, they send for the Savior. And by the time that the Savior arrives, yes, the passage tells us how Lazarus has died. And he's buried in the sepulchre. And Martha, she goes to greet the Savior as he comes. Look at what she says to him in verse 21 of the chapter. She says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And following that, Christ then goes on to speak to Martha. And he speaks those tremendous words to her of verse 25 and verse 26 of the chapter, where it says, "Jesus said unto her," that is Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" There in those words, as he addresses this woman, Martha, the Lord speaks to her and he tells her how he himself is the author He himself is the giver of all life, physical life, spiritual life, and indeed eternal life. And receiving great comfort from these very words, Martha, we're told, she goes to her sorrowing sister Mary, and in the words of her text at the end of verse number 28, she says to Mary, she says of Christ, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Following this, we see how they make the way with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the tomb where Lazarus had been laid. He'd been there for 4 days already in the tomb. And then we see how by the mighty resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ himself, he calls Lazarus back to life, and he restores him to health and restores him back to his sisters, Mary and Martha. Look at verse 43 to verse 45 of the chapter. It says of Christ, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and feet with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.' And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." And here we see the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in raising this man, Lazarus, up again to life. And by this powerful miracle and by the witness of this miracle, I see that there were many there that believed on Christ for salvation. Here we see the mighty power of God. And dear people, there's no power like the power of the Lord. The Lord's power is not changed. The Lord's power is not diminished. And how in every circumstance of life, in every extremity of life, how you and I, we can rest upon the power of the Lord. But people, just as the Lord called Mary in this occasion to himself for fellowship through the words of our text, "The Master has come and calleth for thee." So we can also say that the Lord is one who is continually calling sinners to himself for salvation. You think of that first call of the Lord in the gospel back in the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. There the Lord is speaking to Adam and Eve when they'd fallen into sin, and he spoke to them and he says, "Where art thou?" And by that question he was calling Adam and Eve to himself for salvation. Again, over in the gospel of Mark, you have Christ himself speaking about this call. He says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Yes, dear people, from the beginning of time, right to the very end of time, the Lord is one who is constantly and continually calling sinners to himself for salvation. Indeed, tonight, as we would think of our text, which says, "The Master has come and calleth for thee," it is indeed this great matter of the Lord's call to sinners for salvation that I want us to think upon and base our remarks upon in this evening. The Master has come and calleth for thee. I wonder tonight, is God speaking to someone in this meeting? And the Lord is speaking to your heart, calling you to himself for salvation. How does the Lord call sinners to himself for salvation? Well, we can say in the first place that the Lord is one who calls sinners to salvation through his word, yes, through his truth. You see, all through the Bible, God is one who calls sinners to come and to trust in his Son for salvation. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God uses his word to speak to sinners and to call them to himself for salvation. Indeed, it has been said that one of God's favorite words is the word "come." You think of what you read in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. It says there, the Lord is speaking and he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And there God is calling you and I to trust in Christ, to trust in his precious blood shed at Calvary's cross for the cleansing of our sin and the blotting out of our sins before Almighty God. What a call that is. Again, think of the Lord's words in Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse number 1. There he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat ye. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And by those words there in that verse in Isaiah 55, we see there how we are exhorted freely to trust in Christ as Savior if we are to know rest and satisfaction in our hearts and lives and souls here on earth. Again, you think of the words of Christ in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. When he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there again, from these words, you and I were invited to trust Christ as Savior, that we might know rest from the power of sin and rest from the very guilt of our sin itself. And you think also of the words of Christ in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse 37, when he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And here we have the great assurance that when we trust Christ as Savior, he will never cast us out. He will never turn us away. And my, he will take us one day into heaven, into glory itself. And then think of what you read, my friend, at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter number 22 and the verse number 17. There the word of God says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And there you see, through the use of that word, whosoever, how God is one who calls all kinds of people to himself for salvation, whoever they are, whatever their background is in this life. Yes, God calls sinners to himself for salvation through his word, through his truth. That's why he says in the book of Isaiah that my word shall not return unto me void. Yes, dear friend, all through the Bible, God, he calls us, he calls you and I to repent of our sins. He calls us to trust in Christ, to trust in his sacrifice alone for the salvation of our souls and the pardoning, the blotting out of our sins. He calls us to trust in Christ that we might be sure of a place in heaven, that we might be certain of knowing and having everlasting life in our hearts and in our souls. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, if you are still unsaved, please realize this, that if you are still unsaved on the day of judgment, then you can never say that you did not hear God's call to salvation. You cannot say that God has never showed you how to be saved from his word, for his word shows you very clearly, very plainly how to be saved. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then the word of God shows you and tells you by trusting in Christ, trusting in his sacrifice, you can be saved. Dear friend, if you are still unsaved on the day of judgment, you shall be without excuse, because God has given you his word. He's given you the Bible. And this word from Genesis right through to Revelation is filled with earnest appeals from God, earnest pleas from God for you to come to Christ and be saved. By highlighting the value, highlighting the treasure of God's word, think of what Christ himself has said. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Yes, God is one who calls sinners to himself through his word. But not only does he call sinners to himself through his word, we can say in the second place that God is one and he calls sinners to salvation through his people. Yes, through the witness of his people. You think of what Christ said about his own people before he ascended up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, he says there, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And believer in Christ in our meeting tonight, it is the will of God, yes, that that you and I be a witness for Christ, that we witness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we tell others of how Christ has saved us, that we tell others of how Christ has washed away our sins by His precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. Remember what the Lord said to His disciples. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And child of God, this is to be our chief business on earth. Our chief business as individual believers, our chief business as a church, as an assembly of the body of God's people. We are to witness for Christ. We're to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember speaking to a man some time ago about his need of salvation and his need to be saved. And in the course of our conversation, he said that he had Christian friends at work with the place where he worked, and he says they were continually and constantly telling him of his need to be saved, of his need to trust the Lord for salvation. Indeed, that is what each one of us are to do who are saved. We're to witness for Christ. We're to share the gospel with others day by day that God brings across our pathway in life. Now, it is indeed the duty of all of us who are saved to invite others to come to Christ for salvation. And my, if we are to honor the Lord in this work, then it's vital as God's people that we live in obedience to God. The hymn writer rightly says, we cannot be channels of blessing if we consciously trifle with sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Yes, we are to witness for Christ, and how important it is in that witness for Christ, not only in speaking of the Lord to others, that our life brings honor and glory to the Lord as the people of God. Maybe, friend, in the meeting tonight, you're unsaved. I wonder, maybe in recent times, maybe some Christian has been witnessing to you personally about your need of Christ. God has sent that Christian across your pathway in life and in providence. And I would say to you, do not disdain that witness. Do not discount their witness, because God has sent them your way. Why? To call you to salvation. That's what God does. He uses the witness of His people. And that Christian friend, yes, they witness to you because they know that you need to be saved from hell. You see, hell is an awful reality after this life, after this world, for all who are unsaved, who die in their sin. Turn in your Bible, please, over to Revelation chapter 21 and the verse number 8, and there you'll read from the Word of God about the reality of hell after this life. Revelation chapter 21 and the verse number 8, it says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Talks there about the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. That speaks there of the certainty, the reality of hell after this life for all who leave this world unsaved and in their sin. Friend, that is why that Christian witnesses to you. Because they want to see you saved from the wrath to come. Also, that Christian witnesses to you because they know that your sins can only be forgiven, only can be blotted out by the blood of Christ. You see, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, that Christian friend witnesses to you because they know that the only way for you to be sure of heaven is through faith in God's Son, a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A friend, if God has sent some Christian along your pathway in life to witness to you, do not discount their witness. Do not resist their witness. Do not resist their earnest appeals. Do not resist the voice of God through their witness, through their testimony. Yes, through their testimony, God speaks to you through His Word, that you might, through their witness, through their testimony, be made wise unto salvation. You think of Andrew. He witnessed to his brother Simon Peter. And he said to him, we found the Messiah, It says of Andrew that he brought him to Jesus. He witnessed to Peter, his brother. By the witness of Andrew, Simon Peter was brought to Christ. He was led to Christ, to trust Christ as a Savior. Yes, Peter heeded the witness of his brother. He didn't discount it. Didn't turn away, didn't refuse. He listened to what his brother Andrew said to him about the Lord. Friend, listen to the witness of God's people. Unsee a friend, follow the example of Peter and come to Christ and be saved. God calls you through his word. God, yes, calls through the witness of his people. But then we can say something else tonight about the call of God to sinners. God is one who also calls sinners to himself through his goodness. You think of what Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. There he says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Many years ago, there was a young man who emigrated from England. And he went to America. God blessed him there. God prospered him. Did well. He lived a long life. And he was blessed materially. Every circumstance of his life. You know, he lived a long life. And at the end of his earthly life, he began to think of the goodness of God toward him. How good God had been to him. And then he remembered the very words of that text. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He had heard it as a young man before he had ever emigrated to America from the land of England. He began to think how good God had been to him. And later on in the latter years of his life, as he thought of the goodness of God, he closed in with Christ. He obeyed the call of God in the gospel. He put his faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. And men and women, young people, it is a reality that God calls sinners to himself for salvation through his goodness. I want you to think tonight about the goodness of God to you. Friend, every blessing in your life has come to you from God. It is a result of God's goodness toward you, your home, your family, your work, your business. Your farm, your health, your strength, your wisdom, your food. You owe it all to God. Every good and every perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from God. My Paul reminded the people of Mars Hill of this very truth, for he spoke to them of God, and he said this, from him we live and move and have our being. How good God has been to each and every one of us in this gathering tonight. Friend, let me say this, the greatest proof, the greatest token of God's love and God's goodness toward you has been the giving of his Son, his sinless Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners and to pay the ransom and to provide and purchase eternal salvation for all who will come to Christ and all who will trust Christ as their own and personal Savior. The cross work of Christ and the giving of Christ to die upon the cross for guilty sinners. You can write over the cross of Calvary the goodness of God, the love of God. It says in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You view the cross tonight. You think of Christ upon the cross, that spectacle of agony and woe. The one who was wounded for our transgressions, his hands, his feet were pierced, his side was pierced. His brow was pierced with thorns, a crown of thorns, and the blood flowed from all those wounds on the body of Christ. And not only that, the wrath of God was poured out upon him upon the cross, for he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in that, what do you see? You see the goodness of God, how good God is to us. Guilty, hell-deserving sinners, as we said this morning, totally undeserving in and of ourselves of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Friend, think tonight how good God has been to you.
Every gift, every blessing comes from his bountiful hand. The giving of a son, that unspeakable gift, is but the token of God's goodness. But you know, we can say further tonight, yes, further proof of God's goodness is seen in the fact, friend, that you're alive tonight. That God has kept you alive right to this very moment in time. That you're sitting here in this meeting alive as a token of the goodness of God. Yes, there's other people that you can think of. Maybe friends, neighbors, work colleagues, loved ones, family members, friends. Their seat is empty tonight. They're gone from the scene of time tonight. But friend, you're still here. God has spared you to this very moment in time. God has kept you alive. And you might ask the question, why? Why is that the case? Why am I alive tonight? Why is God in mercy and in grace brought me to this gospel meeting tonight? You find the answer, dear friend, over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 9. Listen there to what the Word of God says. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Friend, the reason why you're alive tonight is because of the longsuffering of God, the patience of God toward you. You know, whenever a young man falls in love with a young girl, he will do anything and everything to prove his love for that girl and for the one who is his sweetheart. Well, dear friend, God's love for you is proven. Yes, it is proven in the heaping of His goodness upon you, especially and the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who was spotless, who went all the way to the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The goodness of God and the giving of Christ, the love of God, and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, whoever you are, my prayer is that you will respond to the goodness of God in your life. And in responding to that goodness, yes, that you would cry out like that publican of old, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That you would seek the Lord even like Peter of old, who said, "Lord, save me, now I perish." As you think of the goodness of God tonight, may you repent of your sins before God. Call upon the Lord to save you from your sins. The great promise of God is this: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, He calls us through His Word. He calls us through the witness of His people. He calls us through His goodness. But something else we must say in connection with this little text tonight, "The Master has come and calleth for thee," and it is this: that the Lord calls sinners through trouble, through affliction, through tribulation. You think of what Job says in Job chapter 33, verse 14. There he says, "For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not." You know, if a person will not listen to the plea of God's Word, if they will not listen to the witness of God's people, if they will not consider God's goodness toward them, then God can send trouble into their life. What for? To draw them to Himself for salvation. God can do that. He did it in the life of Manasseh. Turn with me in your Bible back to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, back in the middle part of the early part of the Old Testament, a few books before the book of the Psalms, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And I want you to see what you read in particular about this man Manasseh. Who was Manasseh? He was the son of King Hezekiah, Hezekiah king of Judah. And Hezekiah was one of the most godliest of kings ever to sit upon the throne of Judah. A man who loved the Lord, who followed the Lord, who witnessed for the Lord, who proved the Lord. no doubt prayed for his son, no doubt witnessed to his son, but his son Manasseh was a rebel to his father's God and to his father's religion. But I want you to see here how God brought trouble into the life of Manasseh. And it was used to bring Manasseh to his senses. It was used to bring Manasseh to the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 11, 12, and 13 of the chapter. Look at what it says. It says, "Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria." Assyria invaded the land, attacked the land of Judah. It says, "which took Manasseh," notice it, "among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." God intervened in a powerful way, brought trouble into the life of Manasseh. Brought him down into affliction, down into bondage, down into Babylon. And it was there that Manasseh sought the Lord. It was there that Manasseh knew the Lord and found the Lord as his Savior and as his Redeemer. God, yes, speaks through trouble. You know, it has been said that some will never seek the Lord unless their eyes are washed with tears. And it has been said that some will never listen to the Lord unless God takes away that which is precious to them. There was once a little boy who died, and as the father stood around the open grave as they buried that little boy, the father said to his pastor that day, "This is God's call for me to be a Christian." I remember some years ago hearing a brother in one of our churches giving a word of testimony. And in the words of testimony, how he told that his little girl, little baby daughter, was seriously ill in the Royal Victoria Hospital. She'd just been born recently, and she was seriously ill in that hospital. It was there that he sought the Lord for salvation. And he believed that was the trouble that God allowed to come into his life, to bring him to his senses, to bring him to Christ for salvation. And dear people, yes, God is one who sends trouble, yes, to draw the sinner to himself for salvation. But you know, we can say further tonight, God also sends trouble across the pathway of the backslider also to bring them back to his side, to bring them back to that place of service, bring them back to that place of blessing in their life. That is how God works. Unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, must God send trouble for you to listen? Listen to his call and seek him for salvation? Backslider in our meeting tonight, must God send trouble your way so that you will come back to himself and seek him for restoration? Unsaved friend, let me say this, that if you persist to refuse God's call, then I must warn you tonight from God's word that a day can come when God will stop speaking to you. God will stop calling you. For he says in his word, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Not only that, a day can come when God may allow you to be cut off in your sin. The Bible says, "He that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." It is a solemn thing. It's a serious thing to turn away from the calls of God and the gospel. In the book of Job, it says, "Who have hardened himself against him and have prospered." You cannot prosper by hardening your heart to the voice of God. Friend, don't wait until it is forever too late to be saved. Heed the call of God and the gospel and come to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Also, dear backslider in our meeting, don't go on rebelling against God and God's will and God's word and God's way for your life. Come back to him tonight. Ask him to cleanse you afresh. Ask him to restore unto you the joy of his salvation. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. You think of our text that says, or the master has come and calleth for thee. Look at the response of Mary to this call. Look at the very next verse. Look at verse 29 there of John's Gospel, chapter number 11. It says of Mary, and as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. And she came unto him. She came unto Christ. There was no delay here. There was no arguing with her sister Martha. There was no waiting, no procrastination, no halting between two opinions, no. But there and then immediately she arose quickly, it says. She didn't waste her time. And she came unto Christ. She heeded this call to come to the Lord. Friend, if you're in the meeting tonight unsaved, I tell you this is what you need to do now tonight. Now tonight you need to come quickly to the Lord. Quickly to Christ for salvation. For there is, the hymn writer says, there is danger and there is death and delay. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And dear backslider in our meeting tonight, this is what you also need to do, yes, tonight. Now this very moment you need to come back to the Lord quickly. Come to him for restoration. He'd pray like David prayed of old in Psalm 51 when he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, my friend, tonight may the Lord God of heaven help you to come. Your response to the call of God be like that of Mary of old. And she arose quickly. Come unto him. Unsaved friend, don't delay in coming to Christ for salvation. Backslider, don't delay in staying, as it were, in the far country away from the Lord. Come back to him tonight, to the place of blessing, the place of fellowship, the place where God can bless you and use you for his honor and for his glory.